Great Monday morning to you, and great Monday morning to former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy. Betsy, good morning. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, nice to talk to you. It's a sad morning in America. We're all grieving over those terrible deaths and injuries.
It truly is a sad morning, and actually we just talked to, spoke with Congressman Richard Hanna concerning the shootings. And, yeah, you know, I guess it just has a very strange feel to it. I mean, gun violence certainly is nothing new to America, but when it was so high profile and the number is so large, I guess it just it hits a little bit harder.
It does, and especially to see a 9-year-old child killed. One of the things I did last night was to go look into the crime on March 1st, 1954. I wonder how many of our listeners remember. That was the day these four Puerto Rican nationalists broke into the galleries in the United States Congress and started shooting. They fired 30 shots and wounded five members of Congress on the floor. And I was reminded of that because, of course, there's all this discussion now, do members of Congress need more security? Certainly, security in Congress has been beefed up tremendously since then. They have a very elaborate visitor center to screen anyone going into Congress. But I'm not sure this could have been prevented by a security detail. I remember having one, and security details are good for preventing hecklers. Nobody's going to get up there and throw a pie in your face or take a punch at you. But this man shot at point-blank range in a small gathering. I don't think a security detail would have prevented this.
Can you tell me specifically as Lieutenant Governor, what was your security like here in New York State, and what was the governor's like?
Well, the governor's was very tight. He was accompanied 24/7. My security was a little less tight, but nevertheless, there were troopers there most of the time. And they're important for certain things. But as I said, I don't think even if they provided security details for members of Congress, it could prevent this sort of crime. As you know, when the President of the United States arrives in any town, whether it's Utica, New York City, or Syracuse, or any place, blocks are cordoned off. Snipers are on the top of the building to prevent any gunmen from getting near the president. We can't provide that kind of security for each member of Congress. And short of that, this kind of incident can occur, unfortunately. It's the tragic result of a crazed loner who, unfortunately, really lost his mind.
Yeah, and of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families. Betsy,
I think it's unfortunate that Congress has delayed its proceedings for a week. It's almost as if they're acceding to the lunatic thoughts of this gunman who was so anti-government. Instead of continuing with the people's business, they've called it to a halt.
It almost feels like a win, I would think, for the gunman.
Yes, and very inappropriate.
All right. Let's talk specifically about Congress, if we could, for just a moment. The new Republican class that's in, one of their first official acts is to make a show of strength and try to repeal Obamacare, as we have come to call it.
Well, it's more than a show of strength. The election was largely a referendum on the Obama health law.
Yeah, that it was. But, and is it, I guess the question is, is it possible? Obviously, they can vote to repeal, but where does it go from there?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the members of Congress elected in November made a pledge to repeal the Obama health law. Mm-hmm. It's important for them to keep that pledge to the American voters. And then it will go to the Senate, and who knows what will happen there. Dick Armey has recently predicted that there may be more votes for repeal than you think. But the reason it's so important is every single member of the United States Congress takes an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And this law shreds your constitutional rights. So even if it's not possible to repeal it, they have a duty to vote for repeal.
Okay. And on what basis is this unconstitutional? In that it makes citizens purchase something that they don't necessarily want to purchase?
That's right. Nowhere in the Constitution is Congress granted that authority. And a Congress that can force you to buy health insurance, can force you to buy just about anything or do anything. It totally changes the relationship between the individual and government. It could force Americans to buy cars to prop up Detroit, or force Americans to buy stocks and bonds to keep Wall Street prosperous. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to what it could do.
Now, who's forced to buy this, Betsy? Because obviously, I felt that the plan was to provide health care for those that couldn't afford to buy it.
Oh, no. That could have been done without a mandate. This makes it mandatory. If you do not enroll in that one-size-fits-all government-designed health plan, this law empowers the IRS to track you down and penalize you.
Is anybody actually getting benefits from this health care plan yet? Where does it stand?
Well, only a few provisions have gone into effect.
Okay.
And as a result, many, many people have gotten premium hikes in the mail. In fact, the administration's own projections show that every single year into the foreseeable future, you will pay more for your health insurance under the Obama health law than you would have paid had this law not passed. Some of the early provisions, such as eliminating lifetime caps on what the insurance company can pay out if you're sick, or annual caps on what the insurance company can pay out if you're sick, sound good. But frankly, there's no tooth fairy. And if you get more, you have to pay more. If they eliminated the caps on what your homeowner's insurance will pay out or your car insurance, you'd be paying more for that kind of coverage, too.
So then what's the solution then? Because obviously there's more of a problem than just health care insurance. Obviously, the whole health care industry essentially has gotten too expensive for anyone to afford anymore.
That's right. And there are solutions. In fact, if you come to my website, defendyourhealthcare.us, I've written a 20-page bill in plain English that anybody can read, and members of Congress ought to read that kind of bill before they pass it. The first thing they should do is put that 2,700-page law in a paper shredder and come up with something that's manageable and Americans know their representatives have read. It will provide for tort reform so doctors don't have to order extra tests to protect themselves from being unjustly sued. It will allow Americans to buy health insurance in any state they want. Do you realize that a New Yorker pays almost four times as much for health insurance as somebody in California? Hmm. That's right. A 25-year-old man in New York pays almost four times as much as a 25-year-old man in California would pay for the same kind of policy. So why not let New Yorkers shop across state lines and get good deals? And eventually, the state legislators in New York will wake up and realize how silly the laws are in New York and improve them.
Hmm. When Congress and the Senate looks at this health care, law now, do they look at it objectively or do they look at it as a Republican or a Democrat, that being a Republican saying, well, it's the Obama health care plan, we're going to vote to repeal. The Democrats, just simply take the other side. Do they actually sit down, read the health care law and decide on its merits?
I have met very few members of Congress who have actually read the health care law. Very, very few. And unfortunately, it's not just members of Congress who are reacting in a partisan way. I looked at that report that came out from the Congressional Budget Office last week claiming that repeal of the Obama health law would increase the deficit. It was one of the silliest arguments, and yet it seems to be bamboozling a lot of people in Washington. They argued that because the law spends $780 billion, and actually raises more, $910 billion, in new taxes and fees and cuts to Medicare, that repealing it would be a deficit-increasing measure. Well, that's a preposterous argument. That means that any bill that raises more revenue than it spends is good, no matter what it does to your freedom or your health care or government spending. Repealing this law will reduce spending. Mm-hmm. It will save Medicare. It will lower taxes, and it will do something more important than any of that. It will protect your freedom.
Mm-hmm. And rather than just accepting those claims out of hand, people, again, can go to your website, read your 20-page report, correct? What is the website address again, Betsy?
DefendYourHealthCare.us. To me, the most dangerous part of this law, Section 1311, It says that insurance companies can pay only those doctors who follow whatever dictates the government imposes in the name of health care quality, like how often a doctor does a cesarean section or uses a bypass instead of a uses bypass surgery, mm-hmm. for example, instead of cardiac medications. We should not allow the federal government to dictate how doctors treat patients, especially privately insured patients.
That is a little bit scary. It's former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy. Betsy, let's talk a little bit, if we could, about the the new Cuomo administration in the state, and the State of the State address took place last week. If you could just kind of overall give me your impressions of the State of the State address, and how confident did you feel after hearing that we're going to be on the right path for the next couple of years?
Well, I was very elated by Sheldon Silver's brief remarks at the outset, because he made a pledge he's never made before. He declared that overall state spending must be cut. And that's a real reversal, because he, more than anyone, has thwarted cuts to New York's big budget buster programs, Medicaid and education, year after year after year. So that made me very hopeful that perhaps there is change in the air in Albany. And, of course, there has to be. We have the highest taxes in the nation, and we have very poor results for it. So I was I found the governor's speech promising, but now we have to see what the legislature does. Just remember who these folks are. Most of them are still in office and have been since I was there. New York legislators spend $1 million apiece just running their own offices. That's three times what lawmakers in other states spend. And I didn't hear these lawmakers say they're going to give up their member items, which is the New York term or lingo for earmarks or pork barrel spending. I didn't hear any commitments like that. So let's hope that they, too, understand that New York is on the road to bankruptcy and needs to change.
Well, it's one thing to hear Sheldon Silver say that we need to cut spending, and that's very easy to say, but where do we cut? And I guess
let
that's
me give you some examples.
Okay, go ahead.
State aid to education in New York, it's gone up 75% in the last decade, while school enrollment actually declined. I love kids. I think public education is very important. But how do you spend 75% more when you have fewer kids to educate? Non-teaching professionals increased by 26% over that period. Too many people hired to take care of fewer and fewer kids. There has to be another way.
But the cost of running a school has gone up as well. Granted, you know, the student body may have gone down, but it costs more to heat the schools than it used to. It costs more to put on
not
a school lunch program.
Not 75% more.
Okay.
It does not.
All right.
This is a decade of remarkably low inflation.
Okay. Where
another
else
example is Medicaid. Now, Medicaid in New York costs more than twice as much per recipient as in California. We're not talking about some backwater. California is a very enlightened and progressive state. If California can take care of their Medicaid recipients for less than half of what it costs New York, there's something wrong.
Why can they do it for half? Is there less fraud? Is there less waste? Is there less
inefficiencies? Well, all politicians talk about fraud and waste. If they knew how to get rid of that, they would have gotten rid of that. New York offers many benefits that are not mandated by the federal government, and in flush times, perhaps are advisable. But when people are pulling in their own belts and giving up every luxury to hold on to their homes and educate their kids, they realize that even the public sector has to economize somewhere. I'll give you an example, personal care. In New York, we send attendants to care for people in their homes, help them bathe and dress. It's an important service, but it's a luxurious service compared with what other states offer, and we might have to trim back on the number of hours or have more rigorous screening for who receives that service, because it's bankrupting property owners. It's bankrupting them. They can't afford to hold on to their homes.
We're talking to former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy. Betsy, at what point has the Cuomo administration been in office long enough that we can start to look at them critically and say, well, wait a minute, you know, this was supposed to happen, this hasn't happened? Do we give this administration a month, 2 months? Typically,
Is the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, the State of the State is beautiful rhetoric, and the new governor did a good job of delivering that speech. It was informative and it was exciting. But now we have to see what kind of budget he presents to the legislature and how effective he is at forcing members of both parties in that legislature, they're both guilty, forcing them to spend less.
Okay. All right. It'll be interesting to see if he can do that and then follow through with that.
I hope so, because in New York, government has really grown beyond the consent of the governed.
It is former Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy. Betsy, we'll probably talk to you again a couple months down the road. And again, give your website address if you could.
DefendYourHealthCare.us. And if anyone listening is going to the hospital, please come to hospitalinfection.org. We'd like to help you protect yourself from a hospital infection. That's my main mission.
All right, Betsy McCoy, thank you so much for taking some time with us this morning. Take care. Bye-bye.